Hey everyone, Pastor Harv here. Thank you for tuning in today. I hope this message blesses you with hope and energizes your walk with Jesus Christ. Share this with someone today and spread the joy to those in your life. Stay tuned to the very end. Let's jump right into the Word.
I want to take you this morning. I feel like we need the Word. I love what happened last Sunday. I love this today, but I think we need, there are times that God speaks to us, and I don't have all the answers. I'm not the most educated man in the room. I don't claim to be. But I think that it is so important that we break down stereotypes, things that we have taught as religion, the methods of man, and that we need to know what the Word really says and what God is saying to the church about how we are to respond, how we are to love Him. And you can put the scripture up, but I'm just going to tell it to you. I think it'll be just as easy this morning. The Word tells us in Acts chapter 8 that Stephen has been stoned, that he is passed into the presence of Jesus, and that Saul begins to make havoc of the church. He's tearing the church apart to the best of his ability physically. He's going into men and women's homes, and he's taking them captive, and he's putting them in prison. He's just stirring up every possible persecution that he can. But the Word tells us that in all of this, that Philip goes to the city of Samaria, and that he begins to preach Jesus to them. And that while he is there, men and women began to have an encounter with the Almighty God, and great blessing comes upon that city. And then the Word tells us that they send Peter and John down, and they bring the message of the Holy Ghost, and miracles begin to happen on top of miracles, and they receive the power of the Holy Spirit into their lives. But there is a sorcerer there by the name of Simon, and he thinks himself to be the end all, and he is a great trickster, and the Word says that he gives his life to Jesus, that there's no greater power than the power of the Son of the living God. He gives his life to Jesus, transforms him, that he wants to buy this power, but when he sees the power of the Holy Ghost, he wants to buy it in person. He said, I've got to have this. This is a cool trick. I don't have this in my bag. And it is there that Peter rebukes him, and he says, your money will perish with you. And you know the story pretty well. And he prays for forgiveness. But God visits that community and visits that city, and he begins to tear down strongholds. We're going to talk about that just a little bit this morning. Let's pray together. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name to anoint your Word. I pray, God, that you will give us power and anointing. God, that you would send fire upon us, even as you did in that Acts 2 upper room. Whether it was the room of a house or it was an upper room in the temple, wherever it was, God, it's what you did that matters. And I pray today that you will speak life and truth into us, that God, you will break down stereotypes, and that you'll bring your Word alive to us so that we embrace it and live your Word every day through the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you turn to those around you today and just embrace somebody? Put both arms. Give them a bear hug. Acts chapter 2 is where the water breaks in the Word. The church gets past just being conceived, and the church actually comes forth. And I may even circle back to this at some point, because I have shared with some of the congregation before what really took place on the day of Pentecost, what I believe and what I believe the Scripture teaches us and the Scripture tells us. The Word tells us in Acts chapter 2 that suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Not a sound from a preacher, not a sound from an orator, Not a sound from a university, not a sound from a thinker, not a sound from the choir, not a sound from the worship team, not a sound from the board of elders, but that there came a sound from heaven. I thought that it was more than unique, that yet once again there was confirmation in the very first song when we heard the words this morning, "This is what heaven sounds like." The church was never meant to be controlled by any other thing but a sound from heaven. As a matter of fact, all real ministry will always emerge from heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Acts 2 was not a monument for us to keep going back to. It was the launching pad for the church to reproduce. Your power has never been in what God did. Your power is in your relationship with who God really is in your life. God is movement. In Him we live and move and what? Have our being. God is not a system. God is not a modem of operation. He is not a musical director. He is not a lead pastor. He is not a family ministries pastor. That's how, if we get addicted to men, that's how we end up having a form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. So it is that even in the book of Acts, we see that men keep coming back to Jerusalem to copy a system, and God keeps shaking them loose. In Acts chapter 3, a man that is lame is healed, and he walks again. In Acts chapter 4, those that have prayed and spoken with authority in the name of Jesus have been put in prison and released. In Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira are stealing from the church. And if you want to know how God really feels about that, they lose their lives instantly in the presence of the disciples. In Acts chapter 6, Stephen delivers one of the greatest messages on the authority of Jesus Christ that the church has ever heard. In Acts chapter 7, he is persecuted even unto death, and he is stoned. And those who love him, they take up his lifeless body and they bury him with great lamentation. However, just before he left this world, the word said he looked up and he saw the Christ, the Son of the living God. I tell you today, there is absolutely nothing that this God cannot do and this word cannot deliver you from if you will look to. So it is in Acts chapter 8. Saul makes havoc of the church. This is important. The word said they were scattered even unto Judea and Samaria. How many of you remember what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, before he ascended unto the Father? He said, "You will receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and where? In Judea and under Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the earth." It's like Joseph's brothers and Joseph when he was sold into slavery. We realize that what the enemy meant for evil, that God is faithful and he means it for our good. I'm telling you this morning that what they are suffering through and what they are going through and being tossed in prison, in and out of prison, and being persecuted by Saul, it is not a persecution unto their detriment, but it is a launching pad for the fulfillment of prophecy. And what Jesus said in Acts 1 and 8 is already coming to pass in Acts chapter 8. It projects us forward. A man like Philip is shaken out of his dogma. He's shaken out of another board meeting in Jerusalem. He is a Hellenistic Jew. That means that he is a mixed breed. when you go all the way back to 721 BC, you'll find that the Assyrians come into northern Israel and they take them captive. They take them into captivity. And while Israel is there, they intermingle and they marry and they're given in marriage to those who are not of the called of God. So a curse in essentiality settles upon them. But when you jump ahead, I believe it's 579 BC, you'll see that the Babylonians come and they take southern Israel captive. And this time when Israel's taken into captivity, they put their foot down and they make up their mind, we'll listen to the voice and the will of God for our lives. We will not intermarry and we will not capitulate to the teachings of the Babylonians. And when they are restored to Israel, they are restored whole and together within the will and the framework of the Almighty God. And there is this division that happens and it takes place and it's well rooted. Now you have the Israelites who have this feeling toward those that are Samaritans, and you know that story well. You know what happens. So it is that when Philip goes to Samaria, the word tells us that all hell is breaking loose. And when Philip goes to Samaria, he has their favor because he's under Greek influence. He's a Hellenistic Jew and he's a Christian. So when he goes to Samaria, he has a favor with them that he does not have with the leaders in Jerusalem. They tolerate him, but they do not bless him. So when he goes to Samaria and he has a word from the Lord and the anointing of the Lord and the favor of God upon his life, they begin to embrace the lordship of Jesus Christ into their lives. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that God will take commonality. He will take the person that you work with, the person you go to school with, young people, teenagers. Listen to me this morning. God will set you up. You may feel like you're being persecuted. You're being looked down upon. You may feel like you're being taken advantage of. But I'm telling you this morning, God puts us in an environment where we can thrive for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it is. I encourage you today to remember that the door may have been slammed shut, seemingly, even in your face. But I declare today that you will dance again and we can sing, "Look What the Lord Has Done." You can dry your tears because the promise of God said your mourning will be turned into dancing. Would you turn to someone and tell them, "I can be happy today. I can be fulfilled today. Day. It may seem like I've been through hell on earth, but God has been setting me up with great favor, and even this shall be turned to his glory." Would you lift your hands in this house and praise him? Pastor, I've not seen it. The word of God said, "No good thing will he withhold from me." God has a promise to bless us and to keep us. So Philip is sent to Samaria. Some people think they're being spiritual and they're all that and they're always a step ahead of everyone else and they're spiritually superior to others. And there are those that this morning, they don't even feel that way. They just like being a thorn in your side. For some reason, they've targeted you, it feels like. And they don't come at anyone else like they come at you. But I declare and I decree this morning that they may not even know it, but they are launching pads into your next level of greatness. You may feel like you're persecuted and there are Sauls all around you, but I'm telling you, God is setting you up for a Samaria in your life. So Samaria, this is not the Old Testament city that was destroyed by John Hyrcanus in 128 BC. It's not the Samaria that was rebuilt by Herod in 27 BC. But more than likely, not only was Samaria a city, but it is a region. And more than likely, this is Sychem. And And Mount Gerizim is there. The temple of the Samaritans is there. That's where they worship in their mountain. And this won't seem like it means much, but it does when you get into the historicity and you get into the power of the book of Acts and what God is trying to do and the essential message of what God is trying to bring to his people. Most of all, when you go to Samaria, you'll find that it is there that Jesus planted a seed. I want to do this. I just felt quickened. Would you lift your hand this morning? And would you help me do something? I'm not trying to be overly dramatic, but I sensed it lately, more than a time or two. Would you lift your, right now, would you tear down strongholds? Right now, would you tear down resistance to the word? Would you tear down every hindering presence? Would you proclaim liberty in the Lord of hosts? Would you proclaim that he is Jehovah Jireh, our provider? Would you proclaim that he is Jehovah Rapha, our healer? Would you proclaim that he is Jehovah Nisi, our banner of victory, and nothing will prevail against? The word of God. It is where Samaria is where Jesus plants a seed. What kind of seed, Pastor? Do you remember well that it is Jesus that meets this woman by the well? John chapter 4, she's been married 5 times. And it is there that Jesus sows into this woman. And because of his influence and impact on her, she renounces religious dogma in her life. At first, that's all she can talk about. All she can talk about, the Jews and what they do wrong, what the Samaritans do right, where they worship, where we worship, how they worship, how we worship. And it is there that Jesus begins to tear down strongholds. And he tells her, he said, you're worshiping in this mountain. He said, but you don't even know what it is that you worship. He said, but the hour is coming and now is. In other words, I'm the now is. Jesus said, I am planting a seed right here in Samaria into your life right now. But the hour is coming. Someone else is coming. He is setting Samaria up for the visitation of the Holy Ghost. They that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus said, a time will come when you will worship under the anointing and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, you just wait. It's good now, but you just wait until the Holy Ghost shows up in Samaria. God said, I'm going to deliver. The hour is coming, but now is. It's coming. You've been attacked, oppressed, depressed, stressed, but the reason that Satan could not kill you, could not take you out, is because you have a promise that there is something coming in your life. I'm talking to someone. It seems as though Philip just slips into Samaria. Just shows up. There's no parade. He just walks in. I believe that God spoke this to my heart. I am in Summerton because of the seed that someone else planted. I'm not here for a parade, but I am here because something's coming. It seems like that Kelly and I just slipped in, but something is coming. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe that a wind is going to blow inside the walls of this church house, and that the Holy Ghost is going to visit us in unprecedented measures. There's a seed here today in Pastor and Judy Sargent. There are seeds of others that have been planted, but I came to declare that you ain't seen nothing yet, that the glory of the Lord will be poured out in ways unmeasured and unseen. Hey! If you will sing with all of your heart and worship with all of your heart and teach with all of your heart and magnify him with all of your heart, God will visit us. Listen. Paganism and ritualism are heavy in Samaria. You don't have to be evil to be ritualistic. You don't have to be evil to just keep going through the motions. You don't have to be evil to show up on Sunday and be vile in your spirit and in your heart because you've missed and lost your connection with God. It was that Simon, this sorcerer, has taken over the city. Even Simon himself, listen, doesn't know what is coming. Simon thought he owned Samaria, that he was in absolute control. He has conned them into believing that he is the father who gave the law to Moses. He has conned them into believing that he came as the Son of God under the reign of Tiberius. He has conned them even into believing that he is the fire that fell upon the church and upon a nation. He did not know what was coming. He thought he owned Samaria. He thought his demons and imps controlled the city. But there was a revolution that had started contrary to the ritualism of man. It was birthed and born not only as a fire upon, but as a fire within the men and women of Pentecost that received the Holy Spirit. And Philip is coming with a fire of his own. Hear me, listen. Circumstances do not control what is coming. I've heard people walk out of churches all my life. Well, they don't do this right, or they don't do that right, or they don't do this like I think they should. I'm telling you today, I don't care if the devil himself has walked through the doors of this church. Circumstances do not dictate what is coming. Simon may have been the most evil man in the city. He may have controlled and ran over and ran through everyone in his way, but the circumstances could not prevent the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon the life of Philip when he showed up and there were evil spirits that were suddenly cast out and men and women were believing on God and the Christ with all of their heart. Amen? Hey, would you lift your hand today and say, tell the enemy circumstances cannot prevent what God is about to do in my life. Simon can't stop it. This thing never starts with a committee. It never starts with a preference. It starts with a sound from heaven. Moses was one man that God used to free his people from Egyptian bondage. Joseph was the one man that God used to feed a hungry nation after 13 years of trouble and turmoil in his life. Nehemiah was one man that God used to rebuild Jerusalem. God can use one man to revolutionize Summerton and the surrounding area if you want it enough. I'll pray on Friday night at midnight. I'll fill the sanctuary with the high praises of God. What if no one else shows up? You're the one man. You're the one woman. Do what God puts on your heart. Do what God speaks into your life, and he can change an entire city. The devil is so afraid of one man that he will send everything he's got to Bethlehem to take Jesus out. He's not after masses, but he's willing to kill to get one man to bring down the masses. The devil knows this morning that if you stop looking across the congregation, if you can ever get loose, if you can ever get free, everything and everyone you touch will get loose as well. That God will turn a city upside down if he can just get through to one man. Tell somebody, Turn to your neighbor, tell somebody, I may seem just a little bit off. But I'm one of the ones. You tell them. I may seem just a little bit off, but I'm one of the ones. Come hell or high water. Whether they like me or they don't like me, whether they approve of me or they don't approve of me, whatever it takes, I'm one of the ones. Jeremy, actually, come here. Just sit over there. What y'all were thinking, y'all all left me. I don't know how to say it. I've not had anybody to go to the last few weeks up here. When everyone else is looking at you and everyone else is staring funny, and whenever, it's okay to be one of the ones. I believe this with all of my heart. You're one of the ones. There's just some people that you meet in life, it don't take long. Yes. You're a man of influence on your family, on your job, in your church. You're one of the ones. I want to know, am I speaking to anybody in this house today? And you don't care what anybody else thinks in this moment right here, right now. But you'll say, Pastor, I know that I'm one of the ones. Lift your hand. You're not being arrogant. Just be honest. I know that I'm one of the ones. I'm speaking to somebody in this house. You've been as dirty and low down as you can be. And the enemy has convinced you that you can't be one of the ones. But God said, because of what you've been, I will make you what you will be. And you are one of the ones for my glory. Jailhouse shaker. A big chain breaker, a giant killer, a mountain mover. That's why the devil has been after you all of your life, because God's hand has been on you all of your life. I said, that's why the devil has fought you all of your life, because God's hand has been on you all of your life. His favor rests on you. His fondness is on you. His goodness has rested upon you and your family and your home, because you're one of the ones that he can depend on, and his blessing is upon you and your household. His favor is upon you today. His hand is upon you. You're one of the ones. Come here and walk with me. Where's Dana? Where'd he go? You don't know? That's okay. Sounds like Kelly. You represent him and you represent your home. And God's favor, don't you? You are living witnesses. That's why the devil's tried to kill you, kill your family, tried to take Dana out through the years, because God's hand is upon you, and he hears your voice, and he hears your cry, and when you pray, it matters to him. Noah, come here, buddy. I know you fought through hell on earth. I know you, there are battles that we cannot deny. There are things that you fight through and you wrestle with in your mind, but I'm telling you today, you're one of the ones. God's got his hand on you. God's favor is on your life. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. Don't you ever throw in the towel. Don't ever let the devil tell you you messed up again. You might as well throw in the towel. You're one of the ones today. Come here. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands. Would you lift your hands? Would you lift your hands? Speak, Holy Spirit. I called you from your mother's womb. My hand of favor rests squarely upon your life. I have ordered every step. I have brought you to this moment in time. I am God. I speak to you today with assurance to remind you that I am indeed real in your life. There is no failure too great, no shortcoming that cannot be overcome. I am God, and my favor rests upon you today. Don't forget, saith the Lord. Don't give in to peril. Don't give in to storm. Don't give in to struggle. I am God, and my favor rests upon you. Lift your hands and praise him. Philip is preaching the gospel in Samaria, and he's casting out devils. I've almost let myself buy into it, Pastor Sergeant, that let's just be practical. Everybody go along to get along. Let's just teach and be practical. I tell you what, Pastor Sargent delivered one of the finest messages you'll hear on the reality of Scripture in Romans chapter 1 this past Wednesday night. It's a truth that we're not preaching. It's almost as though we're afraid, we're timid with the gospel of Christ. I don't mean be arrogant. I don't mean be cocky. But I need some men and women that will stand up in the face of adversity and say, I am one of the ones. I am one of God's chosen. And I will stand for the word of God. Come. The Bible said they're casting out devils. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and there is great joy in the city. There's some people I know, you wanted everything and anything in the church but great joy because you don't have it. And you want somebody else to suffer just because you suffer. And you want somebody else to go through hell because you're going through hell. And you never come to get free, you just come to complain. You don't come to get free, you come to criticize somebody else. And that's a cheap way out. It's a devil's way out. It's an ungodly way out. And God needs to heal you, and God needs to change your life, and God needs to... Some think our joy is clamorous and uncouth and boisterous. We're loud and we're flamboyant. But I say today, if you really knew where God brought me from, out of that stoic, religious, ungodly crowd, you would praise him too. Am I speaking to anybody today? Your house was on fire and you barely made it out alive. And maybe nobody else has gone through that, but you did. And you know what it is for God to save you. I want to see your hand. I barely made it out, but thank God I did. He brought me out, you know. And you can sing, my help All of my help cometh from the Lord. Stand with me this morning. You know what it is to raise your hand and say, when I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost. He thrilled me to the uttermost. By speaking to anybody today, if anybody ought to have joy, you have joy because your kids are healthy. God's provided favor for you. I've learned this too, that I've got so much more, but I know that God's pulling us in. That just because you show up with joy does not mean that the enemy will not continue to live there. It's an oxymoron almost. It's a dichotomy in the text that Simon the sorcerer is working in spite of the saints. If we ever get what I'm about to tell you, we won't have an empty seat in the house. When Jesus spoke in the gatherings, when Jesus cast out devils, he cast them into to pigs. It wasn't just about a man, it was about a region. And strongholds and principalities want to control cities and regions. Northwest Birmingham, Summit and Dora, Jasper. You can get rid of one in an individual and it still have dominion in a region. And God, this is not practical Sunday. This is not a practical David killed Goliath. Everybody, whoop. There are strongholds that we have to deal with. The Bible calls them devils and the Bible calls them demons. And they long after regions. They long after areas. And if we are not careful, we may not come with a thundering voice and cast them out, but we will just live with them and tolerate it as okay. And there are some Sundays and there are some Mondays and there are some Fridays when we have to reach up and we have to say, God, I'm more than this pettiness. I will pull down. I am one of the ones. They were in an upper room and they were all in one accord. Listen, like I said, I'm not the most educated man in the room, but I know this. I know that there's some things when I walk out of here and I go home, they don't matter. When you've lost your husband to COVID, when you've lost your son or your daughter in a car wreck, when you learn in a hurry, when you lose your younger brother at an unexpected age, you learn there are some things in this life that don't matter. I'm gonna be careful what I say. I think it is some of the most ignorant things, unbecoming to the church of God, for us to go home and get upset over what song was sung in the choir. For us to get upset because I didn't get the solo and Johnny Bob got the solo in the Easter musical. To question this all that and question all, I want you to know one thing. I'm not perfect. Kelly can tell you a number of ways. But I pray and I seek the face of God and I try to hear from him first. If he could ever get us on the same page, they were in the upper room with one accord. Philip went to Samaria and he preached Jesus, and miracles happened. They sent Peter and John, and the city was turned upside down in the power of the Holy Ghost. You've got to get as concerned about Summit and Endora as you are about whether or not you get the solo. We get this preference or we get that. I love music. I came up in choir. I've been around some really good choirs. And I've been around some that would make your bones hurt. Hurt all the way to the bone. I love the songs that we sing. We've got some of the best instrumentalists on the face of the earth. God is good. But at the end of the day, who am I when I put my head on my pillow and I close my eyes? God, have I been pleasing in your sight today? If we can get this word in our heart and our life, he'll change us. My gentle hand is upon my people to restore and to renew and to make whole. One body with one mind, one Lord, one Savior, one coming King. It is my desire, says the Lord of hosts, to heal you, to restore you, and to give you great favor. In my favor, the lame will walk, the blind will see, and the deaf will hear. In my favor, says the Lord, miracles are coming. In my favor, says the Lord, you will reach the masses for my son, Christ Jesus. It is my will. It is my plan. I have enabled you this day, in this hour, in this moment, says the Lord. Heed my word. Lift your hands. Ask him for it right now. Ask him for favor. Ask him for it. God, that my hands touch those that are lame and that they walk again. That my hands touch the blinded eyes and they see. That my hands touch deafened ears and they hear. As you bow your heads this morning, I tell you that the anointing destroys the yoke. The anointing breaks the yoke. Pastor, I just want to know that I'm saved. I want to recommit some things to the Lord. I want to know that his hand is upon me to fulfill his word in my life. Would you step out? Don't raise your hand. Just step out from where you are and make your way to this altar right now. I just want to know that everything is right between me and Jesus. It's okay. No need, no shame in your game. Just today, I just need to hear a word from the Lord. I need God to speak to me about something. I need him to speak to me about a son. I need him to speak to me about a daughter. I just need to know that everything is clear so that I can hear.
Well, I hope you were blessed and inspired somehow by today's message. Here at Summerton Church of God, we believe that God still does the miraculous. We are seeing people's lives changed and transformed, healed and delivered, all to the glory of this incredible God. We want you to experience that for yourself and for your family. Why don't you be our guest one Sunday right here at Summerton Church? I look forward to personally seeing you.